greetings to the brightest audience in the Western Hemisphere, nay, perhaps even the world. It's not Bob Enyart. It's Doug McBurney sitting in again, as Bob is still out of town, on his way back to town. The number to call, if you choose to do so, and I don't want to put any pressure on anyone, for those of you in the live audience, the number to call is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART. Please bring something to the table if you decide to call. But there's no pressure to call because it's a crazy week already. We've just begun the week, and it's already fairly nuts. We've got an American spy plane sitting on an island in the possession of the Chinese Red Army. That's interesting. How insane is that? I just talked about the Chinese on my show on Friday. And I forget, maybe they listened and they were upset because I had said that if they landed the full force of the Chinese military in Los Angeles, that they'd never make it to a casino in Las Vegas. And, well, I don't know if they listened to the show over there at in Beijing, but you never know. Could be tuning in KGov. Also, I saw on the news this morning that the Notre Dame girls basketball team won the national championship. Pretty exciting. So exciting, in fact, that students there at Notre Dame, well, they had a bunch of riots after the girls won the basketball championship even. It's win, lose, or draw. There's going to be a riot anymore. And I guess the men's Final Four is tonight. We'll see which campus burns. I guess the chances are that the winning campus will have riots. And, of course, the losing campus will have riots. And perhaps there'll be some riots around some of the other Sweet 16 schools just for good measure. I don't know. But, I mean, when you take to rioting over a girls' basketball game, well, I think you're just reaching. I think you just want to riot. And any old reason will do, I guess. That was really wild to see that fine campus there in Indiana. Bunch of car fires and setting furniture on fire. Over, yeah, that's right, it was the Final Four of the girls. Yeah, okay. Well, like I say, it's a pretty crazy week. Here in Denver, it's opening day of baseball season. That's right. A note to Daryl Strawberry's mom. It's opening day. Do you know where your son is? Daryl Strawberry has disappeared, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll get to some of that. What other thing? I'm going to give you the slant on the American spy plane that landed in China. I've got the lead story from the Xinhua news agency, and then I've got the Reuters wire report. I'm going to get into that and just show you the differences as to how the story is being presented. And the North Koreans have something to say about all this, as you can well imagine. An update on my conspiracy theory. I'll get to that. My conspiracy theory regarding foot and mouth or mad cow disease or crutch-filled yekob or whatever that disease is. That's making all those poor little sheep sick. I've got an update on my conspiracy theory that I'll get to. Israel is going, well, they've assassinated someone. And this brings me to some of the things I discussed on the Worldview last week. Israel has stepped up efforts to quell the violence. And, well, apparently they've assassinated a rather high-placed Palestinian official. We'll get to some of that. The cloning people, the Raelians out there, I don't know if they're in Las Vegas or Utah or up in the Salt Flats or where they've got their secret laboratory. Come on up to the laboratory where they're going to attempt to clone. Well, they're going full steam ahead, and the psycho, bizarro, weirdo leader of the group who calls himself Rael, he even spoke to the Congress last week, for crying out loud. That was creepy. So the cloning efforts continue. The Israelis step up their efforts to quell the violence. The Philippines, I've got some surprisingly good news from the female president of the Philippines. A shocking story to come out of there in regards to some more Muslim violence. They've declared war, by golly, and that's interesting enough. Brings us to some more interesting issues. We've got, oh my goodness, we've got the Ten Commandments. People fighting to put the Ten Commandments up in the pagan temples around the country. I don't understand that, but I'll get to some of that. A man who was in prison for 29 years, going to talk about him down in Jamaica. And we got, what do we got? All kinds of good stuff. Oh, man, a school. I told you last week about a story about the good reverend out there in Atlanta and the troubles that his church has run into. And just to let you know how things stand in Georgia, I've got a story from a public school in Georgia that should be fairly interesting to juxtapose to the story of the right Reverend Arthur Allen out there in Atlanta. We'll get to some of that. But let's start with the big story, the headline story of the day, of course. Your American military was spying on our good friends and makers of fine Nike shoes, the Chinese. And I was discussing this with my wife last night, as I often do. And she had asked me, she said, what happened? Did the American plane fly into Chinese airspace and they forced it down, or what exactly happened? And apparently, at least the American military claims that they were in international airspace. But I did point out to my wife, I said, you know, the plane was probably in military, or the plane was in international airspace, but all the little radio signals and all the little spy tentacles from the plane were no doubt invading the airspace in the mainland there in Beijing, doing the spying that needs to be done. Someone needs to keep their eyes on the Chinese. I don't know if our government is just checking to see if the sweatshops are functioning at full capacity, or to make sure that they're up to standard, or if maybe we are actually spying on the Chinese military, which now that would be encouraging. That would be encouraging. But listen to how the Xinhua News Agency, now the Xinhua News Agency, Xinhua News Service, I should say, is an arm of the communist government, of the People's Liberation Army. It's the official government communist news source there in China. And while we, here in America, have seen headlines about concern over the 24 military personnel and the highly top-secret aeroplane that is now in the hands of the Chinese, well, your average Chinese guy on his way into the factory, picking up his rice ball and grabbing a copy of the Xinhua News, he's not hearing any of that, ladies and gentlemen. And this morning, the latest headline off the Xinhua Wire, Xinhua News Service tells us that the search and rescue efforts are intensely underway for the missing pilot of the Chinese fighter jet, which was bumped into and damaged by the U.S. military surveillance plane on Sunday morning. And they quote Foreign Ministry spokesman Sun Yuxi Shusail. Is it Shusail? Looks like Shusail. I'm not sure how you pronounce some of these Chinese names. But Mr. Shusail, he says that they're intently searching for the missing pilot. However, after rigorous searching a day and night, this is all translated from Chinese by people who don't comprehend grammar. However, after rigorous searching a day and a night, the whereabouts of the pilot is still unknown. So the Chinese are searching for their pilot. And the foreign ministry spokesman, Sun Yuxi Shusail, said that the leaders of the party and the government and the army are very concerned about the security of the pilot. Now, that's interesting. If you have a jet, military jet, that has participated in a mid-air collision over open water, and you're searching the ocean for the pilot, I don't know that his security should be your primary concern. Perhaps the state of his health should be foremost in the minds of the Chinese military and the Chinese government. But this lets us know, this gives us some insight into the mindset of the red commie Chinese and how they're going to play this story out. They're concerned about the pilot's security. So they sort of plant the seed that perhaps the U.S. military has captured the missing pilot. And they'll say, you know, we'd love to hand you back your top secret military aeroplane and your 24 military personnel, but we're going to have to settle the question of what happened to our fine, brave Chinese pilot. When the facts obviously point to the possibility that this fine, brave Chinese pilot is floating out there in the water in the South China Sea, and he's shark bait by now. But they're concerned for his security, and they're letting the people of China know that the Chinese government is on the case and that they're going to recover their pilot. So leading, of course, to what is America going to do? It's an interesting time right now. The first foreign policy crisis of the Bush administration. And I have to admit, as much as I am not a fan of George W. Bush, as much as I am not a big fan of his, I've got to admit that I feel better coming to loggerheads with China over this incident with George W. Bush and his staff in place. I feel a little better. Maybe I'm naive, perhaps, but I feel like I would much rather have the type of people that George W. Bush has appointed as opposed to Madeleine Albright and the Clinton administration. I don't know. Madeleine Albright may have just told the Chinese, you know what, just keep the plane. We're very sorry. Please give us back our troops. But you keep the plane. Just, you know. Anyway, what apparently the United States government is preparing to do is to at least make some show of force. The United States, according to Reuters, will leave 3 warships in the South China Sea region to monitor the situation after the top-secret U.S. surveillance plane made an emergency landing on Hainan Island. A military spokesman says that they were scheduled to transit through there. The military ships, warships, only described as warships. We don't know exactly what they are. Well, the warships were scheduled to transit through the area anyway, and what they're doing now is moving a little more slowly. They're loitering in the area. The 3 destroyers, they're destroyers, will linger in the area just to monitor the situation while we've got our aircraft on the ground in Hainan, which is an island, interestingly enough, to the south of China, just off the coast of Vietnam. This unnamed military spokesman says, quote, I wouldn't say that this was a show of force, he says, but the presence of the 3 destroyers is a constant signal of U.S. interests. So what is everyone so upset about? The Chinese are our friends. They make all of our little knickknacks and our trinkets and all of our little baby shoes and all of our handkerchiefs. And don't they make the berets for our army? What's everyone worried about? So they've got one of our planes. They're our buddies. They're our friends. Who's your buddy? Why, it's Jiang Zemin. He's your buddy. Anyways, so everyone's upset, or the Chinese are upset. The Chinese are upset, and here in America, we'll see how George W. Bush responds. But I've got to tell you, I just happened to watch last night on the History Channel a story about the Korean War and what went wrong. And it was an incredibly left-wing, just disgusting propaganda piece that talked about how General MacArthur brought America to the brink of World War III when he crossed the 38th parallel and drove the North Korean army up to the Chinese border, sparking, if you'll remember, and many of you probably do not, but sparking, if you'll remember, the 400,000-strong Chinese army to attack and drive the United Nations force all the way back down to Pusan in the south, way below the 38th parallel. And I've just got to say, I think Harry Truman, I think his legacy is bearing fruit. And Harry Truman was a wuss. He was a wimp. And what Harry Truman did was he didn't allow an American military in 1950 that could have no doubt marched all the way to Beijing. He didn't allow them to carry out. Harry Truman didn't allow General MacArthur to carry out his mission, and we're continuing to pay for that today. Bob Enyard teaches the Bible like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyard's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bab En Yaakov tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give them a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out four tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyart's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertle? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism, folks. Get the video, Bob Debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. It's Bob Enyart Live at KGOV.com, where we go worldwide to a worldwide audience on the World Wide Web. The number to call, if you choose to do so, if you feel you have something to offer that's of interest, call us at 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART. We are going live. We are taking calls for those of you in the live portion of the audience. Please give us a ring, but have something of value and of merit to say, and we'll even put you on the air. So I started going off there on Korea and how the crisis at the Korean Peninsula back in 1950 could have led possibly to World War III. I don't think so. I think that it points out something when you realize that Harry Truman fired MacArthur because MacArthur said, you know, we should just use nuclear weapons and end this thing, and we should march all the way into China. This is a problem with China. Well, Harry Truman said, well, that's the wrong war at the wrong time with the wrong enemy. And perhaps Harry Truman was correct at the time in 1950 that China was the wrong enemy, but I don't think so. Because Harry Truman and all of the other liberals in Washington were worried about the Russians. And the Russians could barely get a tank to function and to roll. They were barely able to comprehend the idea of the wheel, for crying out loud. The Russian military was never a serious threat to Western Europe. And the Chinese in 1950 perhaps didn't appear to be a serious threat to the world. But here we are 50 years later. And China, instead of having been crushed and possibly nuked in 1950, and nipped at the bud, well, they've been allowed to blossom as a communist nation, over a billion people. And now they are some threat to the world. I would say not a threat to the mainland of the United States in a ground war, but certainly a regional threat that must be dealt with, and quite possibly down the road, a serious threat to freedom all over the world. I think China was the right enemy And then 1950 was the right time. That was before the don't ask, don't tell policy in the U.S. military. Back when men were trained to fight wars instead of how to be tolerant and diverse in the military and how to color coordinate their berets. But it's not 1950 anymore. It's 2001. And here we are again, coming face to face with our old nemesis, the Chinese. Meanwhile, Russia just continues to crumble and collapse, the great enemy that Truman was so afraid of. What a moron. Anyway, what's going on in Korea now? Well, North Korea, according to a UPI wire story, North Korea called on South Korea on Monday to form a united front against the United States, saying that the North is, quote, escalating its campaign for confrontation to strain the situation in the Korean Peninsula. One spokesman for the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea says that, quote, if the United States continues to provoke military confrontation with North Korea, we will have no option but to respond with firm resolve. The North has launched a fierce propaganda onslaught against the new George W. Bush administration. And on Monday, a senior North Korean official expressed anger that the Bush administration, in public for the first time at an international forum in Cuba, the North Koreans expressed anger for the first time, I guess, publicly, at least publicly. So we've got the North Koreans denouncing us in Cuba. That's a real shocker. And we've got the Chinese with their dirty little mitts on a top-secret aeroplane and 24 members of the U.S. military. And we don't know their sexual preference, but chances are they're holding at least 10% homosexuals. And we can expect a march by the Gay and Lesbian Transgendered Alliance to march on the Pentagon and demand the release of the fuchsia beret ones there. I don't mean to run down the guys in the military. I suppose I shouldn't do that. It's not they who chose to wear the pink berets. It's not they who decided to incorporate the pink triangle into their unit logo. It's the higher-ups there. And what's scary is it's those same higher-ups who are going to be dealing with the problem of the top-secret aeroplane that's in China. And the 24 members of the U.S. military that, nobody's heard from them in a day and a half. Hopefully, we will hear something later in the day. And hopefully, this situation will be resolved. And I don't much care if it's resolved peacefully, because the Chinese need to be taken care of. And whether we do it today or whether we did it in 1950, the problem is not going to go away, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is only going to grow and get larger and more dangerous. But we shall see how that all shakes out. I want to give you an update now on my bizarro, wacky conspiracy theory of a couple of weeks ago. I told you that I was suspicious that perhaps the foot-and-mouth black plague mad cow dearth that has overtaken Europe was perhaps the brainchild of the animal rights movement and the Euro-vegan clip-cut, what do you call these people? You know, the bleach-blonde Euro, neo-Euro-socialists, whatever you want to call them, that they didn't mind a little outbreak of disease. After all, there's no great enemy to fight anymore, and everybody needs an enemy, and everybody needs a crisis, and all the little people want to feel like they lived through something great in their lives without doing anything. They want to at least be able to watch it on TV. So we have a little outbreak of foot and mouth that's decimating the cattle and the sheep and of Europe there. And, well, where did it come from? You know, here in the United States, we hadn't had an outbreak of foot and mouth for going on 70 years, or maybe more than 70 years. And all of a sudden, it springs up in what we thought was civilized Europe. Well, let me tell you what PETA, the People for the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, what do they have to say about the foot-and-mouth panic? Well, Dateline Norfolk, Virginia, from the Reuters Wire, While U.S. authorities take precautions to prevent foot and mouth from entering the country, that's the United States, by the way, where Norfolk, Virginia is located. Well, while the U.S. authorities are taking precautions, the president of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, possibly the world's most influential animal rights organization, openly hopes that the disease crosses the Atlantic and enters the United States. Yes. PETA co-founder and president Ingrid Newkirk, she says, quote, if that hideousness came here, it wouldn't be any more hideous for the animals. They're all bound for a ghastly death anyway. But it would wake up consumers and meat eaters. Yes. Yeah, PETA co-founder and president Ingrid Newkirk was interviewed on Friday in the office she shares with four cats. Now, that's really surprising. She says, quote, I openly hope that foot and mouth comes here to America. It will bring economic harm only for those who profit from giving people heart attacks and giving animals a concentration camp-like existence. It would be good for animals, good for human health, and good for the environment. That's the president of PETA. And you're telling me that you think I'm paranoid in thinking that the European vegetarian anti-human rights, pro-animal rights community could be behind this foot-and-mouth outbreak. Well, PETA workers there at the PETA headquarters in this chick's basement with her four cats. Well, actually, it's not in the basement anymore. She started in her basement back in 1980. And now, listen to this. The PETA, founded in Newkirk's basement in a suburb of Washington, D.C., her and her four cats in the basement. Well, now PETA occupies several stories of a headquarters building in Norfolk, Virginia. It employs 130 people, has 700,000 members, and revenues of $17 million a year. And, get this, they've opened small branch offices in Britain, Germany, Italy, and India. Well, if PETA has an office in Britain, well, that confirms my suspicion. Anyways, and India, they ought to get along real well with the folks over there in India. Aren't cows sacred in India? You know, but they eat other furry creatures, so PETA's got a lot of work to do out there in India. PETA has something called a vegetarian starter kit that you can buy from them. You remember all the Y2K freeze-dried food and stuff? Well, this is PETA's version. If you're preparing for the end of the world, you'll need a vegetarian starter kit. Workers there at PETA headquarters report that demand for their vegetarian starter kits are skyrocketing. Yeah, And they said that no doubt we would sell even more vegetarian starter kits if the foot and mouth or mad cow disease reached American shores. They're the old enlightened self-interest, right? We bring the disease that kills all the cows and sheep and goats, and our revenues will increase because we're pushing beans and corn and Brussels sprouts. Anyway, so PETA's latest target, by the way, besides setting off the foot and mouth disease, what do you call it, epidemic? And besides setting off the foot and mouth epidemic, PETA's latest target is Burger King. Yes. Yeah, they had a protest where one vegan freak, heathen, pagan chick, lesbian, PETA member, Sarah Clifton, walked into a Burger King restaurant, got in line. When she reached the front of the line, she jumped up onto the counter and began shouting, "This restaurant is shut down for cruelty to animals! Everyone, please leave!" Well, a police officer wrestled her to the ground, but she continued shouting for another 20 minutes until two more officers arrived to drag her away. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, there's 40 or 50 people waiting to get themselves a Whopper, and they've got this, no doubt, short-haired, bleach-blonde lesbian chick jumping around on the counter, and hopefully they wiped down the counter and got the Whoppers flowing again.
Twenty years ago, Christians got a great weapon. And I want to know, do you have that weapon ready to use on an atheist, on someone who believes in evolution? What happened 20 years ago? 20 years ago, Mount St. Helens blew its top. And you can see a video called Mount St. Helens, and it goes through the forming of strata over weeks and months, not millennia, not millions of years that evolutionists think it takes to create strata and all these different canyons and log deposits, all these different things. You can find out how the Grand Canyon really formed. The Colorado River did not cut the Grand Canyon. You can see all this evidence in Mount St. Helens. A geologist named Steve Austin, PhD, goes through the evidence for you. It is not something that an evolutionist can debate. It's simply facts. We show you in the video how it formed. This is not up for debate. And how did Mount St. Helens do this, but it took the rest of the world millions of years? It stumps the evolutionist. It's a great video. You can get it here at Bob Inyart Live for $24.95. Now, I have to tell you, we have some new products for the Partnership for a Homo-Free America. We have three powerful bumper stickers. We don't do anything halfway. We have the ultimate abortion t-shirt available here at Bob Inyart Live, which we've talked about before. Now, we have the ultimate homosexual bumper stickers. The best one is a rainbow-colored bumper sticker. Starts off red, then pink, then blue, then green, then yellow, with two simple words: eliminate perversity. Awesome. Another one says, friends, don't let friends be homos. It's great. And then the third one, political correctness, the bastard child of Sodom, with a little tagline, partnership for a homo-free America. If you want one of these bumper stickers, there's $5 a piece. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put them on homo cars. It's a great witnessing tool. It's only $5 to spread the word of not accepting their lifestyle. It's so frustrating to even talk about homos. And it's so great that we have the tools that you can show how disgusted you really are with homos. Because obviously the goal is to get them to turn from their wicked ways. But how will they turn if they don't know what they're doing is wrong? So you can get these bumper stickers and many other things. You can sign up to be a member of the Partnership for a Homo-Free America, $50 a year. You get a certificate suitable for framing and free bumper stickers. Give us a call, 1-888-8-NYART.
It's Bob Inyart Live. Doug McBurney sitting in here at KGOV.com, high atop the KGOV towers, overlooking beautiful downtown Denver, Colorado, where it's 70 degrees and sunny. Very beautiful day out here today. And during the break, I'm brushing up on the good Reverend Arthur Allen, because I want to get to some of his stuff later. Where was I? I was doing PETA stuff, the PETA freaks, with the dyke up on the... Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Having some lesbian hopping around the counter of Burger King? And you know, Burger King says they've had some protests, but they have not affected sales. And, you know, if I'm going in there for lunch and some psycho lesbian is jumping around on the counter, chances are I'm going to roll down to Carl's Jr. or something. I mean, that's just disgusting. I bet it affected sales that day at that store. Man. But anyway, so PETA hopes that foot and mouth comes to America. No surprise there. And I would posit the theory that they're responsible for it in Europe, by the way. All right. So now, we'll move on from PETA, and we'll talk about the PA. From PETA to the PA. Yes. Dateline Gaza. Israel has assassinated a leading Islamic militant as part of what Palestinians term a new policy by Prime Minister Ariel Sharon to end the six-month-old mini-war in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. A mini-war, they're calling it. Have they coined a new term here? I hadn't heard that one before. A mini-war. The militant... The Islamic militant assassinated on Monday. That's today, by golly. You know, that's one thing about the Jews is they get up early and they work hard. You know, I got in at about 8:15 this morning, and already on the wire, the Jews are taking care of business. Well, I guess there is a time difference, but trust me, they started early on this one, and they did their homework. Now, the assassinated militant was identified as Mohammed Abdul Al. That's right, Mohammed Abdul Al. Palestinian sources said an Israeli helicopter fired three missiles and blew up the guy's car. near the Egyptian border. I wonder if they got videotape of that. Put that on America's most compelling home videos. Why not to become an Islamic fundamentalist militant terrorist? Because we can blow up your car from 2.5 miles away with a helicopter. Anyway, Abdul Al was identified as a fugitive and a leading activist in the Iranian-backed Islamic Jihad organization. The group has been held responsible for several bombings in Israel over the past month and in operations coordinated with the Palestinian Authority. This particular gentleman was believed to be responsible for his attacks on Israeli civilians as recently as the bus stop attack just last week. Earlier in the day, today, an Israeli soldier, Sergeant Yaakov Krenchel, was killed in a Palestinian shooting attack near the West Bank city of Nablus. The Palestinian Authority held a major military exercise on Saturday. That would be a riot to watch, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? A bunch of Arabs having a military exercise? I'll bet they lost more guys in that than they lost to the Jews on Monday. It's funny. You know, the Arab armies, the mighty warriors of Allah, generally not very impressive in combat or in military exercise. But anyway, the Palestinian Authority, also known as the Keystone Cops, held a military exercise on Saturday against what they are expecting to be an invasion by Israel of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Palestinian sources said the exercise was held both in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Well, and that makes sense if you think that's where the Jews are going to invade. Well, let's have some military operations there. And that way you can weed out all the weak, stupid soldiers. And they'll shoot themselves in the foot during training. And hopefully you can set up the mighty warriors of Allah to repel the invading Zionists. We'll see how that works out for them. The military exercise by the Keystone Cops over there in Gaza included defense of major roads as well as a response by commandos, and commandos here should be in quotation marks, response by commandos to an Israeli invasion. You know what an Arab commando does when the Israeli army invades? They run to the nearest home and grab a family and hold all the girls hostage. And they're trained, probably part of their training exercise. Go into an Arab Christian civilian home and take the whole family hostage and threaten the Zionists. Say, leave me alone or I will kill the girl. Leave me alone. I am a mighty warrior of Allah. Anyway, so I'm sure that's what their exercises are all about out there. Let's see. They were staged by the ruling Fatah movement. PA, Palestinian Authority officials, said that Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has launched what they term a 100-day plan. And we always like 100-day plans. Willing to look at Mr. Sharon's 100-day plan. Well, the Palestinians say that Sharon has a sinister 100-day plan to end the current mini-war. There's that word again, mini-war. I'm going to underline that. To end the current mini-war with Israel. They said that this would include the capture of strategic locations in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, as well as the assassination of key Palestinian figures. You know, the Palestinian Authority might just have something here, as the Jews have gotten off to an early start this week, assassinating the Mohammed Abdul Al, and make quick work of him. Over this weekend past, Israeli and Palestinians clashed in some of the heaviest fighting in the more than six-month-old mini-war. There it is again, a mini-war. Israel has rejected Palestinian Authority offers to renew negotiations based on a pledge by Sharon to withdraw from further territory in the West Bank. Sharon aides said that the Israeli Prime Minister insists on the end of the mini-war before negotiations are resumed. I don't know why they're calling this a mini-war. A mini-war, I don't know. Anyway, I guess I don't want to comment any further on that. I certainly hope that Ariel Sharon has a good, solid 100-day plan. I would be very impressed, and I wouldn't be all that surprised if Mr. Sharon had hatched some type of plan to stomp out the militant elements in the Palestinian community. This obviously needs to come to some sort of an end at some point, and Mr. Sharon, I think, is just the man to do it, or I certainly hope so anyways. So the Jews are up and at it early in the morning, and so are the Raelians. Yes, you remember the Raelians? Yes, they are the kooky UFO cult, and they plan to clone a baby. And I talked about this story, my goodness, it must have been 6 months ago when I first talked about this story. And they had the goofy little leader of this UFO cult. He actually was addressing Congress last week. It was it was quite a sight to see. I mean, this guy, he looks a little bit freaky. And his hair is quite unkempt. It was quite different to look across and see all of the Republican and Democrat representatives with their hairspray helmet comb-overs compared to this psycho, nutcase, UFO-type weirdo with his Albert Einstein-type do just kind of going all over the place. Anyway, it was an interesting contrast in styles is all I'm saying, and almost makes C-SPAN watchable just to hear from freaks and weirdos and kooks. At least it makes it interesting. Better than talking about campaign finance reform or who's going to get their 50-cent tax cut. Well, anyway, the Raelians appeared. The Raelians appeared before Congress, and they say they're going full steam ahead, and they're going to, what is this? We have a caller? Has he been screened? He's been screened properly? You think he's worthy to come on the air? You know, this will be the first caller that who's actually gotten through the screening process. Let's see here. He wants to talk about, oh, wait a minute. He wants to talk about hermaphrodites? Man. Carl, I think we need to go over our screening guidelines one more time before we go on the air. But, okay, Carl seems to think that Rich in Indianapolis brings something to the table. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Rich on. Rich from Indianapolis on line one, you're on the air. How are you?
Hey, Doug, it's Rich Holtz out in Indianapolis.
How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. The last thing I wanted to talk about today was hermaphrodites, but so sometimes these issues have to be brought to the fore.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's just something that's come up a few times, and maybe we can work this out. And I think I already know what the answer is, but I wanted to ask Bob, how should we treat people who are born intersex?
Oh, boy.
There seems to be a lot of topic with this, a lot of documentaries on lately, and it's come up a few times among, you know, friends and stuff.
Right, right.
And, I mean, if somebody's born with both genders...
Well, now, hold on just a second there. I know that there are documented cases. Obviously, it's a medical reality that there are some children who are born with parts or complete sets of both female and male genitalia.
Right, right.
And what do we do in that situation? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I'm trying to establish, because unfortunately it appears that a lot of these people are kind of coming under the wing. I hate to say the wing, but they're kind of falling into these groups that seem to be run by homosexuals.
Right.
And I happened to see a case one time where this guy, he was calling himself a guy, and evidently he had male genitalia at a very young age, and his parents, under the guidance of their doctor, suggested that he have his male genitalia removed.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
And take female hormones.
Oh, yeah.
He is married to a woman. He says, you know, I'm not gay. He goes, I want to be a man. He goes, I want facial hair. And he has, he also has breasts, too. But he wants to have those removed, and he wants to be a man. And he's angry. And I started thinking about it, and I kind of felt for this guy. I thought, you know, was this guy more like a boy as a child, and that seems to be the answer. If they look and act more like one or the other, then does that seem logical that then that's what they should be?
Well, Rich, I think you're hitting right there at it. I think one thing we've got to look at is this is a deformity. Wouldn't you agree that this is a
right? I think it's be- because of sin, you know, because
right.
of sin being passed down
right.
through our genetics, you know, and
it's not something that should be celebrated.
Right.
Right. It's not something that one should be proud of, the fact that you were born with a deformity.
Right.
And it's certainly, it's a family matter that needs to be taken care of within a family and with the consultation of a doctor. And one thing we don't want to see happen is for someone born with this unfortunate deformity to be under the influence of perverts and homosexuals.
Exactly.
Because they can screw up a perfectly normal boy or girl, let alone what they could do to someone like this. But I think that your initial reaction, I think a parent who's in this unfortunate situation has to be able to relate to their child, understand which sex the child is, and I think, like you say, that will become evident as the child grows, and then they would have to, and I'm not a doctor, but I think they would, with the consultation of a physician, work toward correcting the deformity that toward the actual sex of the child. Am I making any sense there?
Well, that's kind of what I was leaning towards. Just this particular individual that I happen to see on the show, I really kind of felt for him because a lot of people are accusing him of being gay, and he looks and acts like a man, but he's very small and petite, and his voice is kind of high because they've crammed, you know, female hormones down his throat since he's been a young child, and you can tell that he's really hurt about it. But he did marry a woman, so he's obviously, he says he's always felt like a man, he never felt like a woman, but his parents, you know, he didn't seem to harbor any anger towards his parents. He felt that they were coerced by the doctors.
Yeah.
Make him a little girl, you know. Yeah. And he just seems to be devastated by it, and it just kind of brought up some questions, and I've been talking it over with some of my friends, and we are trying to determine how should we treat people, and if they look and act like perverts and homos, then I'm going to treat them like a homo. But if somebody was born with actual both genders, then the first thing that my gut instinct was is that, are they perfectly balanced between male and female, or do they look and act and do they have more male genitalia or more female? And if whatever seems to be the case, I feel that that's how they should be. If they have more look and act and have more female genitalia, then that's what the role that they should take on. That's who they should be.
Yeah, well, I think that sin is so ugly, and it creates so many situations that cause us to wrestle with these issues, you know, and I'm sure that at the beginning that God had never hoped that any of these issues would ever even come up.
Right.
But here we are, and I think, and this is something that we would have to look into, but I would guess that most of these children who are born with this deformity, spiritually, consciously, in their mind and their heart, I think they're fully one sex or the other. And there's just a physical deformity that's occurred. That's my guess would be.
And that's what I'm thinking. They know. I mean, it goes back to the, you know, something I heard Bob say, you know, quite a few years ago, that you didn't see young boys in the playground talking with a phony homo lisp.
Right. Exactly.
Throw me the ball. You know. So. That's what I was thinking, and I was pretty sure that's what the answer would be.
Right, and I think you made a great point that if someone who's a hermaphrodite in this situation has chosen to reject any definite defined sexuality, and they're either a homosexual or a bisexual, or they're just involved in sexual immorality and they're proud of themselves, well, then you treat them accordingly.
That's exactly what I say.
They're perverts. But if someone is struggling with, like this, I heard an interview, and I think it's the same guy that you're referring to, and, you know, if someone's been victimized by the ignorance of their parents, the ignorance of a doctor, maybe influences from some kind of pro-homosexual community, and then now they're struggling, obviously we need to take that into account and treat this man as he wishes to be treated, and it sounds to me like he is a man, And so he should be treated like a man. And if he's not publicly making public discourse about any aspects of his sexuality, well, he's just another guy who, unfortunately, it's just a terrible situation. Yeah.
He said, you know, he wants muscles. He wants facial hair. And I felt bad for him. You know, of course, I thought, well, once he gets facial hair, he's going to hate shaving every day. But,
yeah, right.
But, you know, he seemed genuine, and you could tell his wife was very upset about it. You know, she was tear-stricken. And I just kind of felt for the guy. I thought, you know, they should have just let him be until he matured and to see
right
how he started acting, and then went from there. And maybe as he got older, they could have corrected that with surgery. And but anyway, I also wanted to give you a little story real quick of what happened at a restaurant the other night.
Wasn't a Burger King, was it?
No, okay. No, this was a, it's called the Oriental Buffet and Grill.
Okay.
It's a really nice. They have like a Mongolian barbecue.
Oh yeah.
Island. It's really cool. Really, really good food. And but myself, my wife, and a friend of ours, we had a big garage sale Saturday and did really well. So I said, well, let's all go out and eat. So we decided to go up to this restaurant. And of course, being Saturday night, it was a little crowded. So we were waiting for our table. And my wife excused herself to go to the restroom, and my friend and I were standing there, and I noticed a van pulling up outside, and as the van door opened, I started to see a young girl get out of the van, and she was wearing a very short miniskirt, and occasionally those miniskirts have a tendency, they're already short enough as it is, and they when these women sit down, the skirts, you know, go up even farther.
They do have that tendency, yeah.
Yes, they do. And mm-hmm. and as she was getting out, she pretty much was just exposing herself to everybody. And
kind,
I was
kind
just
of hard
shaking
not to
my
notice.
Head, and I just, you know, in a mildly, you know, just a regular type of voice, talking with my friend, we were just conversing, I said, that girl is too young to be wearing that short of a skirt. And I want to correct myself, because what I should have said is that skirt's too short.
There you go.
The age has nothing to do with it.
There you go.
But I'm still, you know, recovering from my public school education. But
I hear you.
But nevertheless, I said, that girl is too young to be wearing that skirt. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, that's none of your business. A lady said something to me, and I turned around, and I said, excuse me? She said, that's none of your business.
Hmm.
I said, well, actually, I said, it is my business. And I was thinking in the back of my head of a Bible verse that the righteous man takes note of the wicked and brings his home to ruin. Back in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 21.
Yeah.
But I didn't share that with her. I just thought, well, it is my business, you know. And she said, well, that's my daughter.
Oh, boy.
And I said, oh. I said, well, that explains your attitude. I said, because you choose to dress your daughter like a tramp, and obviously you approve of her clothing, and that's why you have such an attitude. And she started using all kinds of profanities towards me. And I told her that she was a despicable woman. And about that time, they were calling us for our table, so I told her that, you know, she dressed her daughter like a tramp, and she was a despicable individual. And as I was walking away, evidently she became very irate because she continued to yell and use profanity at me.
Rich.
She left.
Rich.
Yes.
That was not very nice.
I know.
That wasn't very nice at
all.
It was
so mean, you know.
But, you know, hopefully Mom, for the first time in her life, has heard the truth, right? And you're responsible, Rich. This woman has probably operated in a fog of confusion and liberalism for her entire life. And little did she know that she was going to run into someone who was going to smack her in the face with the truth at a Chinese restaurant. I'm glad you're out there, Rich.
Well, I'm glad I ruined her dinner.
I want to ask you a question.
Today.
I want to ask you a question, Rich.
Sure.
I'm married. You're married, right?
Yes.
Asian woman I'm married to. How about you?
As myself, yes.
Well, Asian women, and I don't mean to be racist, but Asian women, I've noticed, have a tendency to be extremely jealous. And, Rich, I've got to tell you, when that mom said to you it was none of your business, what I would have said to her was, look, I'm here at a restaurant with my wife, and here comes your slut daughter hiking up her skirt, And I'm going to have to deal with my wife, because here's the thing, Rich, when a tramp slut walks into a restaurant like that, I don't care how good of a person you are, you look. It's unfortunate we're fallen, and we look, because how do you not look? I don't know.
Well, because our flesh is attached our body, that's why.
And me and my wife have had some rather lengthy conversations in this area. And I've told her, I've said, dear, I love you, but when a woman walks in dressed like that, and I look, you know, definitely I should be rebuked, but it's her fault. And my wife agrees. She says, you know what, it is her fault, because she's talked with all kinds of other wives and other men, and none of them can stop looking either.
That's right.
At least, you know, you glance, and so it is your business, because it's causing stress to your wife and your family.
That's right.
And you did the right thing, Rich. I'm proud of you. Hey, Rich.
Yes.
By the way, I'm having a girl. We're having a girl.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We don't know what we're having yet.
Are you going to find out?
Not unless we find out on accident. We're not trying to find out. We just, because, you know, whatever we don't get this time, we're going to try for the next time.
All right. Hey, that's the theory I'm operating under, Rich. Hey, Rich, it's the music's coming and the show is over.
Okay.
But thank you so much for an inspirational story.
Thank you.
Straightening out the sluts in Indiana.
Well, hey, we'll have to go out and eat together next time I'm out there, or next time you're here, and we can rebuke some sluts together.
And we can have our wives there, and they can reinforce the argument.
Definitely.
Thank you, Rich.
All right, Doug, take care.
You take care, too. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Bob Enyart Live. Is that the end of the music? Oh, good. I've got time to give you the formal outro. This is Doug McBurney sitting in. I'll be back tomorrow. Will I be back tomorrow, or will Bob be back tomorrow? Don't know. You'll have to tune in and find out live, noon Eastern time, KGOV.com. And I will remind you, as Bob would, to do right and risk the consequences. Now whatever you do, with all of your mind.